Welcome to the Embodiment Conference. My name is. Oh, that is just not going to work at all. Oh, never accept a dare from Mark Walsh. Welcome to the Embodiment Conference. My name is Leslie Kaminoff, and you may know me as the co-author of the international bestseller, Yoga Anatomy. But I'm also the co-founder of yogaanatomy.net. Now, that's a platform we built 11 years ago where we offer online courses and in-depth anatomy modules that support teachers, teacher trainings, and students all over the world. So that's why we are thrilled to be sponsoring all the incredible sessions here on the Yoga Channel, including my own. And if you feel a connection with the way I teach, I have some great news for you. We are extending scholarships to all members of the Embodiment Conference. And you can find that scholarship info and links to yogaanatomy.net in the description for this presentation and in the show notes. In the meantime, enjoy your body, enjoy your breath, and enjoy your conference. And I'll see you online.
Wonderful, and thank you very much, Leslie, for enabling this to happen. So, TS, we are really, really excited and fortunate to have you here. And it's really, yeah, it's really, really exciting because you've been teaching and practicing yoga for the last 30 odd years. And you have written many books. You've got many programs on various platforms aligned with Yoga International, Yoga Glow. You have also developed your own work, Prana, with your partner, Surya. And you've written many, many books. And one of them, Yoga for the Subtle Body, which is what this program is, this session is all about. Now, actually, just seems that we have we've just lost the connection with you for a moment, but Yoga for the Subtle Body is really a wonderful exploration of the subtle bodies and the mechanisms, the pulsing, the breathing, focusing on mind centering and the pulsation throughout the body and how that integrates with yoga and how we cultivate awareness and perception. So we're really excited to have you here. We're just going to take a moment to get Tiaz back. The connection may have dropped out. He's based in Santa Fe, New Mexico, and here he is. He's coming back online just in time. Ha ha. So I think this session today involves practice as well as him going through various aspects of his work.
I'm going to have to redo it.
And if she can. Hello, Tiaz. Hi, Surya. Can you hear us?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. We can't see you. You might have to turn your camera on.
And now, get out of there. No, wait, is that her though?
Yeah.
Okay, get out of there. Close this.
Yay for Zoom.
Both.
Quite amazing how we, I'm sure we've got many people from all over the world. Maybe everyone can just drop into the chat where they're calling from and zooming in from today.
Yeah.
I here am in New Zealand.
Okay.
So big kia ora from, Ohio, Oakland. Let's go back. Quite a few Americans, and there's wonderful Tiaz. Thank you very much for pushing through. Can you hear us? I'm not sure that they can hear us. You might have to unmute yourself, Tiaz. You can, I'll unmute you. Because we can't hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Oh, I can hear you now. Perfect. Wonderful.
Let's see.
Can you hear me now?
Perfect.
Good.
Absolutely wonderful. And thank you to your tech host, Surya. So thank you for that. And we'll hand it over to you. I've just introduced you and shared about your book and your practice. So looking forward to this. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Renee. And welcome everyone to this immersion today, tonight, on the subtle body. So the subtle body, of course, I think is really where the rasa is. If you know that word in Sanskrit, rasa, R-A-S-A. Rasa means essence, it means juice, it means vitality. And so in all of our practices, whether we're meditating or moving in postures, we're looking to access the subtle body. In fact, the subtle, it links us to spirit. The subtle links us to that which is just outside of the material realm. So in our practices, can we touch into that which is form, like your joint, like your muscle, like the organ? And can we also touch into that which is formless, just outside of form? And so in this little class, just like to bring in some ideas around how to work with the subtle body, very closely connected to prana, of course. And so I just wanted to begin, if I can, by showing just a few images that relate to the subtle body. Really, we think of the subtle body, or really our entire existence, being like a droplet, a drop of dew, what's called a bindu in the yoga tradition, just a droplet. And I love this passage from the Tibetan meditator in the Vajrayana tradition, Dogo Khyentse Rinpoche, who wrote, "Life is fragile. Life is fragile, like the dew hanging delicately on the grass, crystal drops that will be carried away on the first morning breeze." So what if we can connect to not only the fragility of our lives, but how every moment is like a dewdrop? It appears, it crystallizes, and then it melts away. And every breath, every sensation, every thought formation is just like this, expressing impermanence or expressing ongoing change. The body is really constituted out of the four elements, or some say the five elements: earth, water, air, and fire and space. And so really the matrix of the tissue is made of these elements. And primarily, of course, it's fluid. We're born into a fluid matrix in the amniotic sac, where you can do the ultimate yoga, rotating left, rotating right, turning, kicking, extending. And so we're born into this fluid matrix. And it's really the aspect of hearing, the Shabda Brahma, the connecting to divine sound, which is so much a part of our training. Not only the sound of Om, or the sound of the Om Namo Shivaya, or Chitta Rupam Shivoham Shivoham, many different ways to articulate sound. We feel its vibration in the subtle body. So mantra yoga predates hatha yoga by many, many years. Mantra yoga, the yoga of sound. So by attuning to the inner ear, we connect to this inner sound, the sound of our pulses, the sound of our breath, the sound of our heartbeat. And it's said that these pulsatory rhythms manifest through a myriad number of channels in the body. I don't know how they calculated that. And some, you know, little Indian guy with a dhoti in Bharatakarnasana counting nadis for a few lifetimes. And so really 350,000 nadis, it said in the Hatha Yoga Pradipika. So really we'll work particularly with the nadis around the pelvis and the neck and the skull today. Really want to address the nerve channels around your jaw, your inner ear, the backs of your eyes. And so these little tiny nadis, these tributaries, go everywhere through the body. Hatha yoga, the practice of pranayama asana, is essentially to irrigate blood and lymph and nerve through all these channels. Now, this is an image of a sponge or a coral. So notice all the very feather fine tributaries in nature, whether it's clouds or trees or leaves. So in the osteopathic tradition, Roland Becker, who wrote a book called Life in Motion, described movement through the nadis this way. There is a slow, pervasive sense of fluid mechanism spreading throughout the total body physiology, an expansive feeling of a tidal movement coming in to fill every cell, every space, every fluid channel. So when we attune to this tidal-like flow with not only inhalation and exhalation, but the expansion and contraction of your heart, you can feel it in the tips of your fingers, the pulsation, you can feel it into your lower back, your sacrum, and your feet. So this will be the practice today, is really attuning to these pulsatory vibrational movements in the body. Now in Hatha yoga, there's lots of wild ways to do this. You can hold your breath, you can stand on your head, you can fast for a couple of weeks. You know, that lots of ways to stimulate and open up the channels of the body. And this essentially brings this quality of prana as oxygenated levels of blood through the body. It's the oxygenated levels of blood that really give us more wakefulness, more buddhi. So the body's approximately 75% water, at least when you're born, you know. It's a slow process of dehydrating as we age. You know, you get to be 70 or 80, you know, it's the tissues start to amalgamate, they start to stick or glue down. So really a lot of our practice is to allow the joints, the fascia, the organs, the glands to keep a fluid-like nature. And we need to do the same for the planet, of course, just given the jeopardy of all the waterways, the estuaries, the marshes, the rivers, the oceans of our planet. So it's not only a sort of a microcosm of the body we look to nourish, but we need to attend now in the at time of global warming more than ever to the nadis of the planet. And so there's a really beautiful passage from the Katha Upanishad that says, smaller than the small, suggesting the subtle, of course, smaller than the small, greater than the great, the Atman of the spirit rests in the heart of every being or every creature. And I love this image of the white Tara with the bejeweled necklace. So like little nodes in the nadis or little lymph nodes or nerve endings throughout the cranium, the neck, and you can see the portal of the eyes into the hand and of course the forehead. So lots of portals into the subtle body. You can come into the subtle body through your feet, through the top of your skull, through the way in the back of your tongue or the palate, the portal of your third eye, of course. So we'll practice in today really accessing these portals. And of course, so many of the icons of our tradition, this is an image of Shakyamuni Buddha, just suggests this wakefulness and this stillness inside the wakefulness. So in craniosacral mechanics, the still point is a profound way of harmonizing the fluids, harmonizing the pulses, and feeling the cord, spinal cord, through the brainstem all the way down, the river of the spine, all the way down to the sacrum. And so BKS Iyengar wrote in his book, The Tree of Yoga, the river of the body, the river of the brain, and the river of the mind are all one, flowing from the soul to the skin and back to the soul again. And so really, whether you're shallow or deep, you know, sometimes yogis, they preference depth, but note also that just at the level of your skin or the flap of your ear, or your tongue, that we can access the subtle body, although certainly connecting to the deep rivers of the breath is so valuable. So let's do a series of practices and movement practices. If you're game for it now, I'll guide you through, and then we'll sit at the end and we'll just bring in the quality of sound for the subtle body. So go ahead here and We'll just begin onto our back, if you will. So I'm going to spread out a blanket over my sticky mat. So if you're able to just have a kind of smooth surface, because we're going to do a little bit of sliding to begin, just to bring this kind of tidal flow into our presence of our somatic tissues here today. So just lie onto your back to start out with. I'll meet you there. Just stretch your arms by your side, and I'm going to have a belt nearby me. You might need a strap, a yoga strap, in the course of this sequence, depending a little bit on your range of motion in your pelvis and your spine. So just now start by just letting the weight of your body drop. And this is really how we start connecting to the nadis. Can you just, without moving, don't shift around, you know, don't surf yet. Just allow the weight of your body to settle and see if you can feel pulses in your hands. You can feel little quivers, little murmurs in your feet, maybe along your skin. Just let yourself empty out. Maybe you've been sending and receiving. You've been attending to your tasks, attending to people. Now just bring your awareness in the pratyahara, soaking awareness inside. Notice, of course, rise and fall of your breath. Let your breath breathe you. So we just allow ourselves to be animated from a force much greater than ourselves. Yeah. Okay, really nice. And then we'll just start in with the knees bent. And just go ahead, if you can, cradle your hands behind your head. If that doesn't work out because you have like the frozen shoulder, you could take a belt between your hands and do it more like this. But if you can, interlace fingers behind your head. Just pause there. And just notice the opening of your lung tissue. So this in of itself is a really great position to expand breast tissue, collarbones, the lymph nodes around the underarm. Okay, then on the inhalations, keep your fingers together, but slide one elbow. Now we're gonna start to do our tidal rocking movement. Slide one elbow towards the wall behind you and then return back to starting place. Yeah. Then on the inhale, slide the other arm, side bend, open up side lungs, don't force, and then slide back again, okay? Just do that a few times. Inhale, sliding. See if you can bring your breath under your skin, subdermal, into all the lymphatic vessels, the subtle body, and then returning back. And you could just go on your own. Inhale, try not to move your hips. Inhale to slide, exhale to return. So this starts to pump the fascia. So the nerve, the nadis pass through the fascia. So now we're awakening connective tissue along the ribs, the underarm, the side chest. May not seem like enough, but if you do this 108 times, just start to feel the side-to-side movement of your spine. So it's very serpentine, side-to-side movement. Yeah, really good. And then pause there when you're back into your center. Then keep your feet grounded. And with the exhalation, manually lift your head off the floor, just round your back. Pull your elbows together. Scoop your tailbone, then inhale down and press your elbows back to the mat and just arch your lower back. So a little back bend in your lumbar. So then we'll exhale up, rounding, scooping, tucking, then inhale, unfurl. So just gonna, there's no twist here, just right along that river, that central channel. It's called the Madhya Nadi, the middle channel of your spine. This works with making the dura, the tube of the spinal cord, more elastic. So just feel this tube from your sacrum to the back of your skull. And as you go into your inhale, you can arch a little bit. So take your neck into like a fish pose. That's it. So rounding up on the exhale, scooping, closing, and then inhale to open. And just go, it's really good to go at your own breath rate. Everyone has their own prana rhythm. Yours will be different from mine. And then on the next time you come up, just keep your pelvis and feet where they are, but rotate a little towards the side. So head off the floor, you spiral, and then come back to the center, arching, widening, spreading. And then exhale to the other side. So lift up, turn, torque, really twist your diaphragm. Really twisting the nerves along your side rib. That's it. So go at your own pace. Inhale down, arching your spine, bowing your spine, and exhaling upward to round, to twist, to spiral. Really great to work with spiralic patterns through the spine, through the neck, and into the crown of the head. This really works the horizontal plane through the body. That's the lateral plane as well as the longitudinal planes. The fascia is oriented through so many planes, vertical, horizontal, diagonal. Yeah, beautiful. Okay. So then at some point when you're through that last one, you can just go ahead and stretch your legs long, bring your arms back by your side, and just the theme of the class is to be subtle in your pulses. Feel the pulse through your feet, your low back, your hands. Then from here, you could take both arms straight out to the side with your palms turning upward. And then just draw one knee back to Baddha Konasana. Don't force, and then slide back out. So keep your foot on the floor. Let's slide up and then slide back out. Okay, so this is a really brushing of your outer foot, outer edge of the big toe as you slide in and out. And don't go like as high as you can. It's not like, oh, the higher the better. Sometimes we think when we're in our body, we think, oh, I have to go like to the maximum. Just really get a quality of ease. And then you could just pick up the pace a little bit. So it's, you know, I studied dance for years before I started in the Hatha yoga. This is really a preparation for any hip work, any sacroiliac work. Yeah, sliding in, sliding out. Then do like three or four on one side. Just do a little series of repetitions on one leg. Three, four on the other leg. Yeah. That's it. Great. And then bring both knee feet back to Baddha Konasana and then slide out again. Yeah. And then just pause after doing that and feel a little, you know, murmurs, electrical flow down into your feet. You can try that out. You can bring feet back and then slide out. So now feel the hinge of your hip. Are you bilaterally symmetrical? You might have, you know, some barnacles growing in the bottom of your boat down there. So one side could be sticky or congested or hardened. Yeah. The next time you draw your feet back to Baddha Konasana, then from here, slowly, slowly bring your knees up to center, slowly, slowly, and just stack your feet. So knees over feet. So make your right arm heavy and then just drop your knees to the left like a bigger piece of seaweed in the tidal movement, the ocean. Make your right arm heavy and then that's it. Sweep back up to center. Okay, who's in a hurry? So speed really erodes the subtle body. So go slowly, drop your knees, arch your back, make opposite arm heavy, and then slowly lift. Can you really feel the return of your sacrum, the head of your femur, your lower back? So try this You could inhale into the movement, exhale to return. So like a little vinyasa, there are many ways to combine breath with the movement, really. 108,000 ways to combine breath with movement. We try to open up different pathways. So let's take a little more arch into the lower back as you travel here. So sense that as you go into the spiral, make your opposite arm heavy and arch your lumbar. Yeah. And notice if there's any difference side to side. You know, your left low back, right lower back can have very different personalities. It's kind of a kind way of saying it could be a real different tension set in one side or the other. Okay, next time when the knees draw out to the side, take the upper knee and kind of swing it up over the lower knee, kind of stack your knees and then set the foot back down and sweep up again. So now we're just taking a swinging action, that's it. So take the knee and swing it up towards the elbow and then return. And then here we go, big piece of kelp, the kelp asana. Just really getting this swinging movement. So it's a little bigger movement. You might feel the spiral come up into your diaphragm, your kidney. But really feel now. Don't just do the movement. Just sense really the weight of your arms. And then we can add the rotation of the head opposite to the knee. So as your knees tip one way, turn your head opposite. It's just to kind of create a counter spiral. We do lots of with counter spirals to adjust the spine. You might get a little ligamentous pop. Sometimes my ligaments pop or my joints shift. Yeah, really good. And then when you're back into your starting point, go ahead and interlace the fingers behind your head again. So this time when we exhale, I bring both feet off of floors, curl in, elbows and knees together. That's for the Apana Vayu. And then feet down, elbows down, arch lumbar and neck as previous. Okay, so you're exhaling up, rounding, scooping. Hopefully you didn't have blueberry pancakes for breakfast. And inhaling down, so arching. And just feel this continuity of flow. You really want a fluid continuity through all the tissues. Shoulders basically come off the floor, knees are up, and then feel your spine unfurl. And it's all about the breath. So you inhale down, exhale up. Yeah, the next time that you come down, just pause there with your head down, elbows down, but knees up in the air. Yeah, elbows down, hands down, knees in the air, and then shift your knees a little to one side. Let's make some circular pattern. This is really great for the sacrum. Drop your knees away from your head, go to the other side and around and back up again. This is slow motion now. When you slow things down, you can really feel more the rocking, tipping of your sacrum, your lumbar L3, 4, and 5. So just go in a little circle there. Your low back will arch off the floor when the knees move away, and the lumbar pulls up off the floor when the knees come back. You know, so many practices do circular movements like Tai Chi or the Sufi dancers in the early Islamic traditions of the spirals, circles, then start going the other way at some point. So you'll go ahead and reverse. Yeah, go slowly, feel your lower back. I can really feel the rocking across my lumbar, the pitching across the sacrum. If you've never done this kind of movement before, just be patient, wait, watch, and listen. Lots of subtle little shifts of the pelvic diaphragm, pelvic floor, uterus, colon, bladder, prostate. So see how your pelvis is getting kind of tipped and turned and rocked back up again. So lots of fascial openings for the reproductive area. Yeah. Okay, and then from here, you can, when you're ready, just when you're back to center, slide your legs back out. Can you just drop all together back to the Shavasana? And in the Shava, don't move. Just be like a sponge, you know. Just be with a sponge with 10,000 cells absorbing the effects of this little practice. So maybe you feel it through your knees, your legs. And what's the weight of your sacrum like? Should be really like a ripe mango, you know, the rind of your sacrum dropping. Really important for the holy tube, what the Greeks call the holy tube or the spinal cord, the dura, we call it in cranial work. All the way up to the back of your skull. Okay, then when you're ready, just go ahead and spin, roll onto your belly. I'll just meet you there. We're gonna just kind of tuck, roll. We're gonna do the prone shava with the elbows out to the side. And just can you stack one hand on top of the other? Either hands on top is okay. And point your toes and just be there for a moment. So this is a class on the subtle body. So just feel, you know, feel any fatigue you might have inside. Feel the weight of your organs. Feel your diaphragm, like your diaphragm is like a, you know, your belly like a big water balloon dropped into the floor, spreading wide. And maybe your breath can touch down into your navel. It's called the Nabi Chakra. Often people don't refer to the Nabi, N-A-B-H-I. Nabi means navel, so Nabi Chakra. So really, really let your breath expand even lower into your reproductive organs. This is really gets the felt sense of the prana into the dantian, into the lower back, lower belly. And who's in a hurry if you find yourself thinking, oh, I should be doing something else. See if you can just come back to the touch of your breath, the nuance of feeling in your tissues. Okay. And then we're just going to take one knee out to the side in the Baddha Konasana again, like we did before on our back. And then just walk your torso over towards the bent knee side and just turn your head to look towards the bent knee and just rest your head down. Okay. Now, breathe through your nose and see if you can touch your breath into the Nabi Chakra again. That is, now we're doing work with the iliopsoas. Maybe some of you are familiar with the strong strapping muscle. It's like the rein of a horse that holds the leg to the spine against the front of your spine. Yeah, then turn the toes of your straight leg under and then push off from that straight leg heel and then lift up a little bit off of the floor into like the cobra in the side lying position. This is very much like a salamander. Do you have salamanders where you live? I live in the southwest of the United States. There ain't no salamanders around here. This is a dry country. But, you know, where you live, you might have, you know, newts or salamanders. It is very primitive, this movement. Infants move through this developmental pattern as they learn to move. So take a breath, push your elbows to the floor, traction your spine up, and try not to get too muscular. Just keep it more pranic, like where's your breath? What's the touch of the breath into your skin? I'm just listening into my lower belly, my straight leg psoas really extended. Beautiful, then we'll go head down. You slide your leg back out, shift back to center. And then we'll slide the other knee into the Baddha Konasana. Beautiful. And then pitch your torso over towards the bent knee side. Turn your head to look towards the bent knee. And just pause there. And yoga is so much about coming into the flow of presence. Like what's arising now for you? What's the dewdrop like as you're here for a moment? The tension, tissue tension in your low back, your belly, your neck every moment like a dewdrop. It's crystalline, it's fluid, it's aware, it's reflective. And then we press our elbows and we're just gonna come up again. So when you're ready, lift up into your side cobra, and you can turn the toes of your straight leg under, right? And that'll give you a little push off. So you're doing muscular action in the leg, and just linger here now. It's legal to linger, waiting, watching, listening. It takes time for the fascia to really let go, especially in these deeper compartments of the hip, the spine, the low back. And it's all about really the brush of your breath, so the wind of your breath. Vayu is the word, vayu, prana vayu, touching into your belly. Yeah, good, then head down, sweep back to center. Beautiful, then turn all 10 toes under, push heels away from head, press your pelvis down, push your elbows and coil upward into the bhujanga, so no twistings here, I'll meet you there. Now, how high up you come is negotiable, how long you hold is negotiable. We'll just get the lower spine to contract. L3, 4, and 5. I mean, I had a lot of lower back pain that drew me to this practice. This helps to reposition the lumbar curve. So just keep sensing, feeling right in your lower spine. Good, and then exhaling down again. Beautiful. Okay, then we'll go back to the first side. We'll bend the knee into the Baddha Konasana. This is where some of you are gonna need your belt here, just to, you might need a lasso, because we're gonna move into the extended leg position. So it's Supta Padangusthasana two. So you go ahead and you push out through the heel, and you could just loop the belt over your foot. And let's just rest the head down again. Okay, so this is a really powerful movement for the inner groin area. If it's too much, keep your knees bent, your leg bent. And then we're just gonna slide the inner heel of that extended leg out to the side. Press your hand to the floor. I still have my hand bent and my arm bent. Just press it, and I'm gonna turn my belly away from the outward moving leg. Just gonna drag your skin, your guts, whatever you got. Turn it away from the leg, and then just really soak in here. This is where we start doing our listening, like we started with that fetal cranium. Just listen to pulses. Listen to the slow stretch of the fascia. It's a time-honored process. We don't like plow through it like a Humvee. So much of our culture is so big, fast, strong. You know, it's the Humvee approach to life. So just have this delicate, but also strong. This is a very powerful opening of the inner groin. You could turn the toes under of your opposite leg and drive the heel back. That'll help you give a little length out of the psoas on that side. If it's too much, again, have your knee bent. Okay, and then you can just release. Out we go, stretching the leg back out. You have enough room in your home space to do the other side. So we'll bend the knee, take the leg out to the side, and then we'll lasso, catch the belt over the foot. Little rodeo yoga. I think there's yoga basically everywhere now. From the NFL, National Football League, to the rodeos. Okay, so now we can just extend out through the inner heel and just prostrate. This is really very intimate. It's very protective. It's very internal. You've got your heart, lungs, belly, groins all touching the floor, and just use gravity. Just let gravity come through your tissues, dropping into your tissues. We always say, let gravity be your friend. So this is a whole floor sequence to allow the tissues to drop. And we're pushing out through the inner heel of that lateral moving leg. pressing into the arm to just kind of drag, turn, pivot your belly away from the outward moving leg. Great. And from here, when you're ready, you can release and extend legs back out again. Turn all 10 toes under. Once more, here we go. Press elbows. Just choke that elbow back underneath your shoulder. Let's not go back to this one. That's the old one that you're probably familiar with. Just do this one with the elbows down and press elbows to coil up and just wait, watch, and listen. Perhaps the most classical yogasana along with the tree, Vrikshasana, is the cobra, Bhujanga. So hold, wait, watch, you can close your eyes if you want to and just be all ears, listening all the way down to your sacrum. Feel pulsatory rhythms along your spine. And you're just drawing the holy tube, that whole front of your spine long up to your tongue. Yeah, great. And then exhaling, head down, pointing your toes. And from here, you could just dive, spin, and roll to your side. Lying onto your back then, stretching your legs out. I'll meet you there. Okay, and just feel now after that belly down sequence. There's quite a bit of hip work. Now just feel the weight of your sacrum. Is your mango ripened? You know, do you feel like the skin on your sacrum drops and you have this sense of release in your inner legs and just allow your body to soak in. Sometimes we're so busy doing, moving, we don't practice enough satchitananda. Satchitananda is just the joy of being. Feel hands, wrists, shoulders. Okay, then we'll draw knees up into your chest and cross your shins like an X, not your thighs, your shins. Then take hold of your feet. So my palms are catching the soles of my feet. If you're bigger bodied or a little tighter in your hip joints, then you could lasso and use the belt around your feet. This is called Supta Sukhasana. So here we go. We're going to pull the shins a little bit over chest cavity. So shift your shins up over your chest. Push out through your heels. Spread your toes. You can really stretch the skin on the sole of your foot. Then lean a little bit to one side and just a little bit to the other. We're rocking back to our tidal movement. So just notice, how's your left lumbar, right lumbar in this position? Is one side more achy or more constricted than the other? And we'll pull shins a little bit again over sternum, over your breastbone, elbows out to the side. And then you can cross, of course, we can cross it out and do the other way. So you bring your other shin on top. Exhale a few times. Good, really, really nice. Then from here, once you're ready, set your feet back down, slide your legs out all together, arms by your side. The end of that part of the practice, just drop in to the quality of your sensory awareness. Like, what's it like in your knees, ankles? And can you feel just subtle rhythms, the nadis pulsing, the nerve channel, the blood channel? Yeah, and when you're ready, we'll bend knees and we'll roll to the side. Sweep and rise and come back up to the sitting, okay? And then you could just take one leg into tree pose. So you tuck one leg in front, bring the other leg back into a into a Virasana. Those of you who are a little bit tighter in the knees, you might find yourself wanting to sit up onto a prop. So you could go higher if you needed to, or if it's too much, you could do this movement in the chair, sitting sideways in a chair. And then if you have your belt, we're just gonna take that loop. Do you have your tail through the buckle is ideal. And you take the loop up to the top of the thigh of the leg going back into Virasana. Okay. Or you just use any tie, any kind of thing you can work with at home there. And then take your opposite arm and sweep it around back behind you and catch it right into the loop. This is the preferable way. You can tighten it down. And those of you who are looser in the shoulder, if you're tighter in the shoulder, make the loop wider. And then we're going to just take the hand to the outside of the knee. See that? So we're taking the whole torso and we're really shearing, flowing to the side. This pose is called Bharadvajasana. Very powerful twist. So kind of root down into your sitting bones. Said in the Tao Te Ching that the root of lightness is heaviness. You're really settling down. Now pull with both hands against your knees. And then we're going to pull with both hands against, one's the strap, one's the knee. And then turn your head back to look forward. So you're really releasing all the skin of your side neck, side of your ear. Where's your breath now? Just notice any nuance of your breath. It might get really shallow. It doesn't have to always be a deep breath. I oftentimes encourage students to have a shallow breath, a very quiet breath, or sometimes a big gust comes in. So the pranavayu is like the wind outside. It's always variable. It's not like we're in a machine. Just make it really organic. This, you can tell the way I've been moving all class, very organic, this practice. Then you could release all together, unfetter thyself, and then we'll switch over. So one leg into the tree pose or the Baddha Konasana, the other leg back behind you. If you're working with a belt today, then you loop the belt over the top thigh or take a rope or some kind of cloth. Then really sweep the arm back around behind you and catch onto the belt. And then take your hand to the opposite knee and go ahead and lift and twist. Spiral. Really feel this swooshing of your belly, swooshasana. So don't restrain. Remember, twists are loosening. You have to loosen to turn. We did quite a bit of loosenings on the floor. But here we're stabilizing sitting bone and lifting front of the spine, really pick up upper chest as we turn the gaze back forward. Feel the nadis, those little electrical murmurs, little pathways of electrical flow. And if it gets cut off, if your circulation or your nerve gets cut off, then you know it's too long or it's too extended. Good, and then we'll from here just slide, releasing your belt off altogether. Okay, good, then you can just fold your blanket out. Those of you working on the blankets here, let's just get a little bit of stick for our hands and feet. So you can set the blanket to the side. Set your shoulders right over your wrist here. Turn your toes under, get ready for takeoff. And then let's just go back to dog pose. Just elongate the dog pose into your legs. Just squiggle your feet back. Don't be too close. So the heel should float a little off the floor. Okay. And then just bend one knee and stretch the opposite side long. That's it, bend the other leg. So just kind of like you're walking a little bit, just feel a pump into your heel, Achilles tendon, pumping one side after the other. Yeah, then you'll bend both knees and really roll your sitting bones up. So feel the height of your pelvis, really elongate up out of your back pelvis.
And then slowly re-extend, just slowly elongate your legs per your capacity. Great. Good. Okay, beautiful. Then just come down onto your knees and we'll just take the blanket underneath one knee and just stand with the other knee out. So yeah, you can align. Just, can you do that? The knee directly over your heel. And just pad the downside foot so you have the grounding there. And then from here, open up your arms like a great bird. Just spread wide your upper collarbones. And then side bend towards the bent knee side. You could rest the forearm, or you could reach down and catch hold of the ankle on the inside of the knee and stretch the upper arm to the sky. So now we've done a lot of work with the pelvis, opening wide. Remember all the belly down work. So you're widening, spreading. It's not an extreme pose. It's just enough for you to really feel the elongation of all the fascia right here along your side waist. You know what they say, righty tighty, lefty loosey. So you might, if you're side bending on your right waist first, you might really feel the tension there on your left side. Reach upper arm, really, it's like a lightning rod. Just to go for that reception, right through the upper finger. Then pull with that hand, inhale up to center. And we'll just swap over then to the other side. Stacking knee directly over heel. Open your wingspan like a great hawk. And then reach, 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 reach. Either resting the forearm down, that could be fine. You could come this far. Or you go down lower, depending on your ROM. And could stay here, or you could go up to the sky and lean that upper arm a little back towards the wall behind you. So we kind of open up our secondary feathers, the top of the chest. If you're a great wingspan, so just feel your arms like a great wingspan. And sink it a little lower. So we're really opening up this inner groin. If we had now another half hour, we'd do poses like triangle, warrior two, flank pose. Baddha Konasana. So then pull, rise, 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 all the way up to center. Okay, really good. So then from here, go ahead and sit into a comfortable seat. You know, you could sit onto your blanket setup. Some of you might want to sit onto a cushion if you have a cushion at home there. Just in any comfortable position for you. If you can't sit into the floor, you could sit on a chair. We'll start in the Baddha Konasana, just pursing our heels together. It's like there's magnets on your heels, you know, drawing, you're pressing two heels together. Just pull with your hands to raise up your front spine. And just really load bear down into your sitting bone. You really want that, you know, earthbound, looks like you have two taproots, sitting bones moving in the center of the earth. Then fold your chin down. So it's like you are a sleeping swan. Draw your chin down, tuck your chin in. It's called the Jalandhara Bandha. So you could either remain in the Baddha Konasana, or some of you might want to sit comfortably cross-legged, the legs out to the side, or you could sit in the Sukhasana with your knees over your feet like we did on our back. So in any sitting position comfortable, just now balance your ears. We looked at the fetal cranium. Just allow your ears to be very soft, velvety, and then breathe down your spinal cord, spinal column, just irrigating breath. To have a good irrigation system to really allow your spine then to float like a column of steam. We're primarily water. So just feel the fluid nature of your breath, your organs, your ribs. There's not one solid structure in the body. Even bones have blood. Bones have blood and marrow.
And so in your breath, breathing at the end of our class, just let your whole body be this river from skin to soul, from soul to skin, however that might manifest for you. Just allow for there to be space within. Space in your underarms, like you have two little balloons underneath your underarm, space around your ribs, space in the back of your palate. So just let your jaw drop, empty your jaw, soften the skin all around your face. Let all the pores of your skin open. The great myth in one of the Hindu myths of Vishnu said that every pore in Vishnu's skin is a universe. So as you breathe into your skin, just allow this open to the prana, open to the force all around you. And I'll just conclude with turning the prana into sound. Om. Om. Om Bhurbhuvah Suvah. Tatsavitur-varenyam Bhargo devasya dhimahi Diyo yo nah prachodayat Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. So great, everyone. Let's see, we're pretty much just about out of time here. I wonder if there's just a last couple of minutes for questions, anything coming up?
I have got a couple of questions here for you that have been posited, Tiaz. Thank you so much for an incredible session, and I loved what you finished with. In relation to Vishnu and the fractal element, that every cell of our body is a universe. I love that. That's just such a really nice tail end to that. But the questions from Adeline. Hello, Tiaz. How can I picture the nadis in the body? Does it only flow through the fascia?
Well, the nadis move through the connective tissue. They move into the bone. They move through the organs. So the nadis are everywhere through the body. So it's really... a vast system of nerves, lymph, and blood everywhere through the tissue. So in this practice, we're trying to animate all of those tributaries, some of them feather fine. Yeah.
There's another question. What daily practice do you recommend for a hydronephrotic kidney that is not causing any apparent problems and has been unknown for 59 years?
Probably the movement I did today where you round up on exhale and you arch down on inhale. Those of you who did this class, so that's a rounding and a flexing. It's like cat-cow, but it's on the back. And so the spine is on the floor. The kidneys are supported by the floor. The ribs are on the ground. So that one I would recommend the most, that spinal wave. It's like cat-cow, but with the spine on the floor.
Wonderful. And another one's just come in yet. Can you please repeat what you said about the universe and pores?
That there's a myth in the Vishnu lore that every pore of Vishnu's skin is a universe. So it's like our bodies also, of course, you know, we're suggesting that we are interdependent with all beings, all things. So it's such a beautiful analogy in that way. I'm interdependent with you, wherever you may be now. And the more we realize that, the more we can preserve the health of the planet.
That is certainly great. And we'd like to be able to continue this conversation over in the Facebook group on the yoga channel. So feel free to go and drop some questions. We'll also, underneath the video that's going to be put up there, we'll also put in Tiaz's links there as well, so you can contact him. And yeah, really engage with each other, discuss, and you know, what little discoveries and insight did you get from the mat in the session, and explore that and develop, you know, the further relationships. There's also coffee groups, so you can go and have a little break now and maybe come back for the next session, which is trauma-informed yoga for survivors of sexual assault, and that's with Zahabia Yamasaki. But thank you so much, Tiaz. It's been really, 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 truly beautiful to share all of our universes together. And yeah, I look forward to experiencing that again. And just to finish off, what would be your top tip for being embodied, please?
Oh, top tip for being embodied? Oh, probably just the art of listening, listening in. Yeah. To every breath, every cell, every pulse. It's through listening that we can really connect to our embodiment process.
Yeah, listening. And just got so many messages coming in from people. Everyone's very, very grateful. Thank you that everybody, yeah, from the depths of their beings, listening, ever listening. Thank you very much, Tia.
Excellent.
And welcome, thank you, Priya, as well.
Okay. Bye, everyone.
Go well. Bye-bye.
Love you, Priya. Bye.
Bye, Adelpha. Good to see you. Wonderful to see you in North Carolina.
Have a good night.
Yeah, you too. Bye now.